Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Greta, who is here to talk with us about the upcoming Your Practice retreat. Welcome, Greta.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. And being the first guest on the new platform, you must win a prize or something. I don't know.
I know. I was pretty excited about that opportunity.
I know. Yeah, and so far so good, huh?
Yeah, I said, well, at least you had some practice with the new platform with the email radio show, so I knew you were probably an old hand.
Exactly, exactly. And Michael's learning the ropes quickly. Hey, can I ask you, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine, yes.
Okay, very good, very good. So your practice retreat is coming right up later this month, and I wondered if you might tell us of your experience of participating in that retreat in the past.
Well, sure. So it is structured like many other retreats in that we have a daily schedule, meditation and working meditation, and then some time for a group processing, mm-hmm. as well as the schedule is a little bit lighter than a workshop. It's, you know, maybe halfway between a retreat and the daily life that a monk has at the monastery.
Mm-hmm. That's really well described. Yeah, yeah, it's quite well rounded, isn't it? So, and because actually, working meditation is not part of that many retreats.
And so, right, right, and maybe in the past, but lately it's been maybe just a few retreats have that schedule.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a nice addition because, you know, there's not a lot of it in the retreat, but there is some and enough to really have a chance to practice with that. Okay, so here's the awareness practice that we do, and bringing it into activity, into an actual task is really quite a powerful practice, isn't it?
Yeah, I find that, you know, in this retreat, you get to choose your focus, and then you're supported by the structure of the monastery to focus on that topic for the week. Mm-hmm. And with all the activities that we do during the day, you're looking through at your topic through that lens. So you get to see yourself in a lot of different situations and see how you are with that particular focus.
Yeah, yeah. Can you think of an example? It doesn't have to be yours, but just, you know, having heard other folks talk about it, what might be something someone would choose to work with through a week of the retreat?
Well, let's just use this recent retreat. Let's say I'm focusing on my relationship.
Yeah.
And I want to see how I relate to things around me, how I relate to this human being,
yeah.
and just start looking at what are the things I do and or how are the ways I am, maybe that's better to say,
yeah.
in these various aspects. So who comes up in my personality and, you know, how do I feel when I'm doing working meditation or when I'm on the cushion or
yeah.
in guidance? And, you know, just get to look at, take all those different facets, I guess you could say, and look at that topic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true, and that, as you say, so each person brings whatever focus they bring to it, and then gets to look through that lens at each, you know, working meditation, in participating in, you know, cleaning up from a meal, in sitting meditation, in the workshop sessions, that you get to really kind of carry that theme throughout. And one of the things that I think is so fun about it is that so there, we come together as a group, and each one of us is choosing our theme, and it really fills it out so that, you know, like you mentioned, we just finished a retreat on relationship, and that's fabulous because we all get to look at one particular topic, but there's something also really fun about having a group of people where each of us is bringing whatever topic we're bringing, and we get to kind of vicariously see all these different topics through the week, you know, so one person is doing relationship and someone else is looking at working with strong emotion and someone else is, you know, whatever it is.
And magically, everyone contributes. The magic of Sangha unfolds and everything everyone says, you know, there's something in it for me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yep.
So one of the things I really like about this particular retreat is that I feel like it's a slower pace in a way. I don't know if this is just me, but when I'm in a more workshop-like retreat, I feel like a lot of things come at me, and I'm not always on top of it throughout the whole retreat. Whereas in this retreat, I get to go at my own pace in a way,
uh-huh.
and that, you know, I've got this one focus and a lot of different ways to look at it, but there's a lot of time for me to walk and process. Movement is somehow helps me process personally.
Yep.
And, you know, or the working meditation, you know, I'm just going along in one direction and, whoa, I wake up into something about what I'm looking at. And
yeah.
So it that slower pace allows for a deeper practice, I think, and also just for me personally, it feels like I get to chew on things a little longer.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And, you know, one of the things about that I saw as you were laying that out, Greta, is that, you know, so in our practice, I often hear Sherry talk about, you know, it's great to always have something that we're focusing on. You know, so instead of being up there wool gathering with conditioned mind, you know, I'm focused on looking at my relationships, let's say. And so that really focuses our practice. It gives us a place to put our attention, a place to watch, to look. And what I really appreciate about what you're saying is that sort of self-paced looking allows us to get grounded in the process of looking, in the process
oh, yeah.
of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't actually matter in particular what we're looking at,
right.
or even the pace at which we're looking, because that process of being in awareness and looking at something, if we're deeply practicing that through the week, that serves us so beautifully in our lives, because that process can be applied to any content.
Right. And I think if that was the, you know, in a nutshell, I think you've stated well the purpose of the retreat is really to give us that deep grounding to take back into our life. And I think that's why it felt so good to me when I did it last.
Yeah. And the way that, going back to what you said in the beginning, it's sort of a midway between what is it to live as a monk for a week and a workshop. So it isn't the same as just being on a monk schedule, in that we do have, you know, there is quite a bit of workshop time and that sort of thing. But there is certainly the flavor of monastic practice in it, which I think is one of the most powerful forms of practice. And so to be able to be steeped in that for a week and then bring that back into your daily life so that, there are a few more commonalities. I think people can feel like, gosh, I come on retreat and I don't have to do any dishes and I don't have any chores to do and I don't have any, and that feels so different than my regular life. And this brings in some more of the elements of, quote, daily life that then give us a shot at actually bringing that process back to our daily lives.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's very kind to not have to take care of oneself, but, yeah, it does seem a bit apart from our life, whereas when we have more responsibility, we can just see how we do that.
Mm-hmm. And so it makes it such a great retreat, I mean, really for anyone, but especially for folks who haven't had that experience, who have maybe only been with us on a There's Nothing Wrong With Your retreat, or a retreat that was really fully guided, where you didn't go into the kitchen and do the dishes afterwards, or you didn't participate in any of the, you know, upkeep for the retreat. It's really a nice sort of next step for people who are ready to do more of that process we've been talking about, especially this year, of bringing our lives into practice.
Right, because one of the things that the schedule takes out of a workshop is decision-making. But when you get into this retreat and, you know, you have to set up a dish station, well, there's a whole world of things that come up just around setting up a dishwashing station. It's incredible how many decisions and ways you could go and how conditioning could affect setting up a dishwashing station.
And then what a fabulous practice of letting life lead and not going to condition mind to figure it out or have a better idea, or which is such a good skill to bring into our lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well put. And then just one other thing I wanted to underline about what you said is the opportunity to have individual guidance appointments.
Right.
So the opportunity to one-on-one with a monk, a senior practitioner, to talk about what you're seeing as you're going through your week and, you know, in this in particular. And so we get to come together and process as a group, but we also get to have that one-on-one interaction, which is really quite powerful as well.
Right. And the other thing that I really felt about it, because it was at a slower pace, I just felt so much more the care that the monastery models that life provides for us that we don't necessarily see in our life.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I felt very nurtured and cared for in my exploration and processing, and I know that that's the purpose of this structure and the monastic environment is to mirror what life is, you know, trying to get me to see about how things are or how things can be. And so even if I am struggling with setting up a dish station, I do not have to go to the place that conditioning mind would want to beat me up over. I can just relax into it and say, well, I don't know. I haven't ever done this before. Let's just see what happens.
Precisely. Precisely. Let me get some guidance. Let me get some assistance. And I love the way you describe that, that it's really the monastery is modeling that, standing for that for each of us as we learn to recognize how life is doing that for each of us perfectly all of the time.
Right, right. And what a blessing to be able to see it, you know, and kind of in a situation where it's not a question. Well, you know, was that a once-in-a-lifetime experience, or is this something I can have for myself when I focus my attention in this way?
Yeah. Oh, really, really well put. So we're coming up against the hour. Greta, was there anything else you wanted to say about it before we end?
No, I just encourage folks to take up the opportunity. I think it's, you know, I just didn't really know what to expect when I signed up for it, but I was just thrilled. I thought it was the best retreat ever. You know, for me, in the past, I've wanted to come for the month long, and for various reasons, I have not been able to make that happen yet. So this is just, like you said, it's a flavor of that, and it's just an opportunity, I think, for a good, strong practice boost.
Yeah, agreed, much agreed. And Greta, much gratitude for being on this afternoon and speaking so eloquently to the topic.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to be the first on the new platform.
I know, we'll have to send you a little certificate or something.
Oh, okay, I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
Good luck with the rest of the show. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Greta. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, drum roll, please. We'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, Jen. Thank you, Greta, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Are you there? Let me try again here. Good afternoon, Sherry. Are you there?
Yeah, I said such an enthusiastic good afternoon, and nothing.
Wow. Would you believe that you appear twice identically in my queue of callers?
Wow. That my cloning project has apparently been successful. Wow.
That's
you know,
good.
So far, Michael, it feels a lot familiar. Just, I don't know what it's like on, with you guys with your, you know, on the technical end of it, but for us out here, that's good. Except I would say the sound quality is a little better with those gals
great.
Talking. It's like they were talking in my right here at my desk. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we all made it. It's very exciting.
I hope some other folks made it too.
Least three screenfuls here. I'll tell you that.
Oh, good. Because I said to some Winnie or somebody today, you know, I hope other people. you know, followed along. And I said, Michael and I aren't just, I said, you people down at the monastery, be prepared to get on the phone in case nobody shows up. But it seems like we're okay.
Yeah, and apparently the communication worked okay, so that's wonderful.
All right. The instructions were great, so thanks to the IT folks and everybody who makes all that happen.
Yes, yes. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I have some announcements, so that's familiar
all right.
too.
Yeah, it is. What are we doing next?
There are still spots available for the new Eightfold Path Retreat in Pennsylvania, September 1st through 6th.
All right. Filling up fast, I think.
Yes. Explore the Buddha's Roadmap for Ending Suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow is the last day to sign up for Walking with the Mentor group coaching, where you can walk with the mentor support.
Uh-huh. I heard good things about it. Haven't done it, but I heard great things about it.
Great. Mm-hmm. And you can sign up for that in the services section of sanghamarket.com. Registration is also open for our next at-home retreat, July 19th, and that one is entitled Training the Player. And as Greta and Jen just so eloquently told us, at the end of July, you have a chance to look at whatever you'd like in the Your Practice Retreat. And that's July 23rd through 30th.
Yeah, I one of the points that Greta made that I particularly responded to and appreciated is this, the pace of it, that it's a slower pace.
Yes.
And that sometimes that is awfully nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these events and all of the other ones up there. A couple of reminders. To make guest show, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1. And some of those folks have done that already.
All right.
And if you could focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So,
Thanks. Here we go.
Wow, it's a big long list here. Big, long list here. Here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my goodness. This is Michelle, and I am from Iowa, and this is my first time calling in.
Wow. You are the very first person on our new platform, if we don't count the Greta, who was the first with good news, right?
Yeah.
So
wow.
Whatever plaque or whatever it is that Jen is going to send to Greta, I think you need one too, don't you? Really. First-time caller and first to launch us. So what's going on?
Wow. I feel just so excited about that. Yeah, I am stunned. My heart is beating a little faster, and I'm really excited.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to call in for quite a while, and I've tried, and I've been in line a few times, and I just decided this was the day I was going to get on the call, and this is what happened.
See there? So, all we have to do is ask, and things start happening for us.
Yeah, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to just kind of get over that hurdle of actually calling in. I'm super excited about recording and listening. I've been following your work for quite a while. I think I read There's Nothing Wrong with You in the Depression book probably 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And really got connected through a coach of mine with your work probably 4 years ago, and then started recording and listening maybe 2 years ago.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
You are following along. That's fabulous.
Yeah. But it's been, I didn't even plan what I was going to say today because I thought I'm probably not going to get on. I just wanted to connect. It feels good to be a part of Sangha, especially you know, living in kind of a remote area. It's easy for the conditioning to kind of send me the messages that I'm disconnected and I don't belong, and yet, you know, recording and listening has been a super lifeline for me recently, especially.
Yes, and there are so many ways to stay connected to Sangha nowadays, aren't there? With all of the technology, they're just those voices really don't have much to. Voices don't have a leg to stand on. I got halfway through that and realized that was a completely bizarre image. But they lose credibility with that. You know, you don't belong because we know we have Sangha all over the world, and we can all be together in venues like this or at an at-home retreat or, you know, all kinds of things. So their scheme to keep us isolated and feeling separate is losing credibility, and that's very good.
Yeah. I made a practice commitment. This is day 9. I made a practice commitment to go through the recording and listening kind of 14-day challenge that's on the new recording and listening website. But then my bigger challenge was to do it for 100 days, just very committed every single day for 100 days. So that's my intention and commitment, I guess, is the word.
Good for you. And so now I'm a junkie, and it sounds like you kind of are too. So do you have the feeling that if you miss a day, it's going to be because something completely unforeseeable happened? I mean, you're at that stage where you look forward to it, you love it, that kind of relationship with it? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but, you know, if it does, I'm going to brush myself up and off and you know, move forward.
yeah, absolutely. In fact, that happened to me last week. I missed a day, and I was traveling, and, you know, I didn't actually realize that I had missed a day, and it was such a shock. And then, of course, it was fun to catch up with, you know, well, what happened yesterday? You know, as if this person that I'm talking to, you know, has no idea about my life. It's an interesting relationship, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just I want to thank you, Sherry, because it's. This practice has really, the word lifeline, I was listening to the show from last week and somebody said that word about that phrase of recording, listening has been a lifeline, and that's exactly what I said to my coach a couple weeks ago in tears because of this content area that was really coming up for me, and I said, although it was, you know, such emotion that if it wasn't for recording and listening, I really don't know where I would be. It would just be really, you know, life would be really hard in some ways without the tools that we have.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't remember when we were talking about it recently, but that so it's a really difficult time, and there's a sense that there's probably not a lot to be done about it. It's just a really difficult time. And who are you going to talk to? Even if you have a coach, even if you have a therapist, even if you have an understanding partner or a best friend, you can only say so much so often. And it's not the kind of, usually it's not the kind of support that we need to get through something that's really, really hard. And to have that recorder there so that anything that arises, any insights, any awarenesses about the process, saying how we're feeling, anytime, middle of the night, there's always that ability to express ourselves, to know that somebody is listening, because somebody is going to be listening, and that there is a support and care that's coming to us in a way we would not want to attempt to explain to someone who doesn't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we say things like, I know through this process that all of life is hearing me and is there for me and is supporting me, you know, their eyes will start rolling around and, you know. But when once you have the experience, you know that it's true. That in that process, we get it. I am not alone. I'm not alone. And I have all of the support that I need. And even though it's not visible to me, it's there.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for brightening this first spot on our new platform. And now that we've had this conversation, hopefully you won't be a stranger.
I won't be a stranger. It feels so good to be connected.
Yeah, and you heard, right, that we've got a couple of things coming up much closer to where you are than if, say, you had to come all the way to California. So we're going to be in Dayton, Ohio, and Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I understand that neither of those is right next door. But hopefully one of them will fit into your schedule and we'll get to meet in person.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Okay, all right. I'm going to look forward to that.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, first caller. That was very exciting.
I know. I go back to Zoe. Remember the whole thing that got started with,
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now we have our first caller here. Very good.
Okay, great. And let's talk to our second caller.
All right. Yeah, not to minimize the number two position, right? It's like, oh, okay, well, we've had our big moment now. I'm sorry about whoever you are. No, it's all good. Who
okay.
we got?
There we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, it's Janice.
Well, hello, Janice.
I am really happy to be the second caller.
Yes, it's a number two is a good spot too.
Number one.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Oh, the thing I wanted to say was I just wanted to share my enthusiasm for the daily recollection.
Aha. Oh, I don't hear that very often. Say more about that, please.
Yeah, well, for quite a few years, I would try and say it, and I noticed, I wouldn't always remember, and I wouldn't know all the words or something like that. And then about maybe 2 years ago, I just thought, oh, no, this is a practice. This is a practice, and I'm going to take it seriously. And then I was able to attend the precepts retreat. And I just wanted to say that in that recollection, like I used to do it without beads, so now I have beads, but
mm-hmm.
everywhere along the way, there's like a different bead will give me a different insight or
yes.
a different bead, like every day.
Yes. Yes. And my the way it happens for me is I'll be going along and it's like, oh, okay, all right, that. And it's, I may have been over that bead hundreds of times, but it's a new slant, isn't it? It's just a nuance or a new angle or whatever, and practice deepens that much more.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then so today I just realize, like, and then I say, with the recitation of this rosary, like how things ever expand.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I thought, wow, it's so true.
Yes.
Just
yes.
choosing one thing and
uh-huh.
doing it over and over and over, practicing. It's like you say, whatever you do, whatever you choose.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I actually say the daily recollection a lot. I don't just say it, formally when I'm sitting or that sort of thing. But if I'm sitting somewhere waiting,
yeah.
If I'll often say it while I'm driving, and while I'm out walking, I'll say it. And at night. If I wake up in the middle of the night and there's nothing else going on, I'll meditate for a while and then I'll say the daily recollection. And it's just it's like a friend.
It is a friend, yeah.
Yeah, and as we were talking about in the previous call, there's that, it's such a touchstone for the kind of support that practice is for us, for me anyway. That I sense through that sangha and connection and the teachings of the Buddha and all that practice is for us.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just it is. It's just
it's like a comforter that you know, that guided imagery that we do have I can't even remember the name of it now. The blanket of acceptance. It feels like that. You know, just kind of wrap up in practice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just, I mean, I can't really say enough about it because there's so many ways that it supports me,
mm-hmm.
And like those insights pop in, or like you say, you know, when there's an opportunity because I'm waiting, you know,
mm-hmm.
it'll just kick in.
Yes, it just drops in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This would be a good time to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Janice, for people who are listening and haven't been on retreat, say, or haven't taken precepts or that sort of thing, they can still read it, learn it, explore it. It's a great expansive tool wherever we are in practice.
Mm-hmm. And I can vouch for that because I did it that way for a long time.
Yes. You, in fact, you had a relationship with the that kind of tangible representation of the practice,
mm-hmm.
and had that growing awareness before you took the step of really bringing those beads into your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
And there's a lot of sweetness even I was thinking of being there and the ceremony around it all, the care and support and how exquisite that retreat was.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when I touched the beads, I touched that too.
Yes, that tangible connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for people who don't know this, I'm sure we talked about it on the retreat, but my teacher always encouraged, you know, because people will say, do I have to wear those beads all the time? Because, you know, people are going to, whatever. People are very self-conscious. And he would say, you know, always have them close.
Mm-hmm.
Always have them close. If you don't have them around your neck, have them in your pocket. Have them right there where if you need them, you can reach out and you have that all of that we're trying to put words to that you can't really put words to, but that connection and support and comfort and just a check-in with who we are and what life is and what it means to us and what we stand for and what we want for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's all held right there. And we can
here in my hand.
Here in my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Janice. That's wonderful. We never talk about that. And I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about it.
Thank you. And I bought my ticket for being at Seattle, but we're waiting for an operation for my husband. We haven't heard what the date is, so I'm whatever happens will happen, but my intention is that if I have that opportunity, I'm going to be there.
Good. I hope so. I hope he's fine and it all goes just absolutely smoothly, and then it's really nice to have that little jaunt.
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm gonna hold thought.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. You're listening to Open Air. And we have lots more new callers here, Sherry.
You know, I just got a text from my daughter right before the show saying that it's 95 degrees in Seattle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's what I said. I thought, you know, because I've been kind of looking forward to being up in the in the Northwest and having some cooler temperatures, because that's what we're experiencing here, right? We need to work on that in the next 3 weeks or so.
I didn't think Seattle could get that hot.
I didn't think it could either. But apparently it can. Yeah, and I think they're unprepared. It's kind of, I mean, laughing. It's not really funny, because it can be really, really difficult for people. It's like when San Francisco hits those temperatures and, you know, people just are prepared. There's no air conditioning. So it can be really challenging. But
yeah.
So we go there to get it, work on our tan. So
you
have some more people?
Yes, and before that, would it be helpful to tell people where they can find the Daily Recollection on our website?
Oh, yes. If you have that information, Michael, I think that would be great.
Yeah, it's under the virtual meditation groups page.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a wonderful thing. I bet there are people out there who don't know that we have virtual meditation groups, so that you can tune in and meditate with Sangha at a time that works for you where you live. So that's good.
Yeah, so if they click on Zen Monastery Peace Center and then meditation groups and then scroll down to virtual meditation groups, they can find it there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Let's talk to another caller.
And before we go, I think you keep it simple. There's actually a recording of it, and it may be somewhere else, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if what you were pointing out was written or a recording, but it's kind of nice to see it written and then to hear people saying it.
Yes. Yes, what I was pointing to was the written words on the paper.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's talk to another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from the 95 Degree Seattle.
So it's a little toasty where you are?
Yeah, well, we're up a little farther north, so not quite that bad. But, yeah,
uh-huh.
It's pretty warm.
Wow, that's amazing. So how are you, even in all that warmth?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm dealing with a little bit of content right now.
Okay. Shall we talk about it?
If I can be allowed to complain about content. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's good for the soul. As long as we don't take it seriously and we remember that actually it's just leading us home to process, then I think we're fine.
Yes, I'm trying to see that right now. I just had I just discovered that my daughter had been doing things that I had expressly told her not to do.
Mm.
And so I'm just, you know, a little steamed at the moment. And, of course, that happened right when I was, you know, waiting on the call. So I just, it just feels like I have tried, you know, pretty much everything I know of to, you know, get her to, you know, do the things she's supposed to do and not do the things she's not supposed to do. But, you know, we're still working on that. And
right.
12.
Yeah. How old is she?
She just turned 12.
Yeah. So you're going to be working on that for a while, huh?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to take some deep breaths and figure out what to do because of it. And, you know.
Let me ask you this, Lisa. Were you a good kid?
Yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was a pretty responsible kid, and I was a good student, and I did what I was supposed to do. But I didn't, I didn't always follow the rules.
Maybe what?
But I didn't always follow the rules, no.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems to be the nature of the beast. Isn't it? It's kids just are not interested in too much of anything except what they're interested in at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of us have worked way past kid time to get out of that. Right? I mean, I certainly didn't leave that behind on my 18th birthday.
No. you know, that took a while to, I guess, follow the rules and...
Well, to develop that sense of responsibility to something other than what I want.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's really a hard one for most of us conditioned human beings. You know, it seems so reasonable that being focused on what I want is the thing to do in life. And of course, there's so much encouragement for it. So to try to learn that there are benefits to another approach, that can be challenging at any age.
Yes, and I would just like to be able to, I don't know, I'd like to just be able to teach her to, you know, contribute to, you know, the family. And and in doing that, there's some things that we have to do and not do, but let's think about, you know, everybody.
Yeah.
We're still working
and,
on that.
You know, I don't know if this is true. We might be able to hear from, maybe you know this. I don't know. But I read or heard somewhere at some point that kids don't learn empathy until, you know, way late in like 16, 17, something like that. And until then, they really lack the ability to imagine somebody else's experience. So
that's interesting. Yeah, I have heard that as well.
Yeah. So in a way, it's kind of like, you know, when I was growing up, and I think for a lot of decades after that, there was this sense that kids are lazy. And then science stepped in and said, well, actually, you know, what's going on with kids is they're growing, they're, you know, they've got all this hormone stuff going on. Early mornings don't work for them. They tend to be night owls until whatever. And so all of these things that we had put made into moral issues were not at all. It was just a perfectly natural part of the development of a human being. And so it might, I don't know, it might be worth looking into some of that and just maybe get a sense of that we hope for things from kids that they just really can't do.
Yeah, and my daughter deals with a lot of impulse control stuff that's hard for her specifically. Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
compounded for her.
A matter for me of not seeing it as defiance to me.
Yeah.
But rather just seeing it as this is how she rolls.
Yeah. Yeah, not taking it personally, which again, you know, for most of us is the hardest thing. You know, of course it's about me. I'm her mother. I'm responsible for, you know, of course it has something to do with me. And for us to step back and say, well, from her perspective, actually not.
No.
Yeah.
And I can see that. And I know that one of my issues has always been taking things too personally.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a step back for me is always a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Breathing, as you said, lots of breathing. And and probably, again, one of the really difficult aspects is not expecting things to be other than the way they are, because that's another one we stumble over. You know, it's always a surprise for us, and really, it probably doesn't need to be. Now, I understand that that can be a rough one for people to wrap their heads around, because it seems like if I am not expecting the best from someone, that's somehow... I don't know what the word would be, but lacking respect for them or that sort of thing. And that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just suggesting that I expect things to be as they are, which can be the entire range, not just what I'm kind of hoping for.
Right. So I can hope for something, and yet if that doesn't happen, can realize
that
probably will happen is something different than what I'm hoping for, and be okay with that anyway.
Yeah, so if we could cultivate an attitude of mind of anything is possible. You know, we really don't know, and anything is possible. It's very, very difficult to do. Because so much of what we do in our daily lives is walk around in an artificial reality inside our heads in which things are the way they are supposed to be in that artificial reality inside, in this case, my head, right? So it's not my what's inside my head, of course, has nothing to do with what's inside yours, even though we might really want to believe that we share something. The odds are really good that it's so completely different that we would be stunned if we could actually grasp the magnitude of the difference.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, of course, as a parent, you know, I struggle with the consequences of, you know, well, there's something that got done and shouldn't have gotten done, and so...
Now what do we do?
Yeah. So now, what are the consequences of that? You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it always seems a fine line to me, and I don't want to do something that... you know, I don't want to come down really hard and be a, and do the discipline in a way that it's, you know, hard or cruel or anything. And yet I want her to see that, well, this isn't the behavior that I'm wanting to see. So there needs to be something.
Yeah. And of course, again, the challenge there is not making it emotional, right? So can I discipline without being angry and upset and blaming and that sort of thing? Just kind of the price for driving drunk is 90 days in jail and $2,000 fine. And that's just a fact. You know, it's not personal. We don't need to get upset about it. But that's what you were doing, and that's the consequence of that. Because sometimes I suspect that it's the emotion that people are actually going for in the behaviors. You know, it's getting the rise out of somebody, watching, you know, knowing that you have the ability to affect somebody's emotions in that way, or kind of, you know, pushing people's buttons or rattling their cane or whatever image we want to use for that can be a lot of the reward for doing the things that are done.
That's a good thing to think about. That might be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where the breathing and the taking a step back and something for me.
And of course, again, the great challenge of parenting is modeling how we want our children to be. It would just be easier if they would just be how they're supposed to be. But the reality is that it's probably not going to happen. And then can I still stay in a place where I want them to be? You know, can I not take it personally? Can I step back? Can I breathe? Can I practice unconditional love and consequences at the same time? Can I, you know, all of those kinds of things we're trying to do in practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big, huh?
Yeah.
It's, you know, when they arrive, these cute little packages, and they, you know, they hand them to us in the hospital or wherever, and we just don't realize that they're going to provide all these spiritual opportunities for us.
They are,
time.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And that is my biggest spiritual opportunity.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good.
All
one.
Right. Well, keep breathing,
all right.
Mom.
Okay. Thanks, and we're looking forward to seeing you later in July.
All right, good. I'll look forward to it, too. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air. That was a fascinating conversation, Sherry, about parenting and discipline. I can see a lot there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's just, I think it's so big for us humans because all the emotions, everything is tied up in it. You know, we love them so much. We want so much for them. We see our frailties and our, all of those kinds of things. We want to be so perfect, and we're so not, and it gets to be a mess, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Sherry, we're going to break and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
I can figure out how to operate these controls here. Okay.
We'll find some of them, huh?
There's a lot of buttons here. Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jody from Atlanta.
Hi, Jody. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I, too, have I guess, some content as well. And have been trying to think through sort of how awareness practice works around it. My sister was diagnosed with breast cancer, and so the family is dealing with that diagnosis. I think prognosis is very good, but of course it's going to be quite a challenging time for the next couple months, years, and just a lot comes up around it, both the fear of sort of what happens, but then also just some really ugly thinking, you know, in terms of like my need for attention from people in my family. And, you know, those ugly feelings that it's like, that I don't think are really me, but it doesn't feel authentic, but then it convinces me that I should be mad. Yeah. And so then I get short and frustrated and upset, and I'm just trying to. I've been doing a lot of kind of conscious checking in throughout the day, like setting an hourly alarm to just kind of have an awareness every hour, like just to get back to the moment. But I guess it's just, how do you deal with content like that without getting into sort of the anger and the fear and the resentment, you know, all those things that come with health-related issues.
Yeah. And it's everything, isn't it? It's kind of what we were talking about with the parenting. Suddenly, we're plunged into a situation where all of these aspects of ourselves, or all of the, whether it's they're authentic or conditioned, are there,
right.
And they're undeniable, and we'd really prefer that we didn't have to look at them. Do you feel like you have a strong recording and listening practice?
You know, I don't. I'll start it, and then it's like, it's almost, and I'm sure this is conditioning saying this, but it's like, well, I don't want to be talking and listening to a recorder all day long. You know, like, I don't want to be carrying it around. Like, I don't understand how it works. Like, in some ways, I do it. Like, there are some ones that I recorded when I was at the monastery that I still listen to because they were just, I can feel that connection from that place, but it's more like the everyday things that I'm not sure how to
yeah.
do it. And yeah. like in this case, like I don't know what that would look like.
Okay. Well, here's how I would do it. Do you know the two chair exercise, and you've heard us talk about the left hand, right hand recording. Is that
yeah.
familiar? Okay.
Yeah.
So that is exactly how I would do it. So there's that person, and mm-hmm. and she's having this whole range of reactions and responses to what has happened, and she has nothing to do with it, right? So
mm-hmm.
What we get stuck with, of course, is it's just rolling around inside our head. Right, and just going
mm-hmm.
over it and over it and over it and over it, and then the voices kick in, and then everything means something. So if you can let her talk into the recorder. Now, the challenging part of this is we really try not to let self-hate get their hands on the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happens, you'll hear it, and you know how to hit delete. Right. But
yeah.
that person who's really struggling with, I feel this. I mean, that where is there a safe place to say, you know, I understand my sister has breast cancer, but I want attention. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's a hard one to. I mean, I think you're just incredibly courageous to have that you said it tonight, because we have so many messages that kind of thing is not okay. But everybody who's gone through this kind of really difficult situation knows that all of those things are there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, from getting angry at her, that a whole range of that this happened,
mm-hmm.
that now she gets all the attention, that what if it turns out not to go well? What if you lose her? And what if,
right.
you know, so... It's everything. So here's a safe place for that person to be able to say it all. And then to have a kind, compassionate presence to listen to it and to offer support and comfort and guidance. So you pick up the recorder whenever, you know, you just realize, oh, my head is getting really clogged with this stuff. Or you realize you're upset. You know, there's a lot of emotion there. You pick up
mm-hmm.
the recorder, you hold it in your right hand, and you just start talking. And when you've talked
mm-hmm.
yourself out, you hit stop, and then you hit play, and you listen to that. And you just watch for what arises. And not to lead the witness too much, but usually what arises is a great deal of sympathy for that
mm-hmm.
human being and what she's going through. And then you hit record, right? And you talk to her about that. And you just keep going back and forth in that way until forever, as far as I can tell, because we never, even though this crisis will pass, there's always something going on in our lives that we really need to be able to bring to a place of compassion and understanding and kindness.
Mm-hmm. And does it help, I guess, when you're trying to create a recording and listening practice to say, you know, every morning I'm going to record? I mean, or does that make it too...
Well, it can. I mean, that's a practice that I have and I love. I've said any number of times, you know, I record all day long, but I particularly like to listen as I fix my breakfast and have breakfast and that sort of thing, because it's a particularly quiet sort of introspective time, and I really enjoy listening to the recordings then. If people are struggling, then making it, bringing that sort of discipline to it can be helpful. Mm-hmm. But I think in your situation, you just need to let that person start talking. And she's going to she's gonna lead you into and through the practice, because I can only guess that you can feel how much she has to say and how much she needs to express. And just an entire range, as we say, of thoughts and emotions and fears and, the whole thing. So to let her talk, and then before long, you're going to be from a centered place. Of course, you're going to run into conditioning and self-hate and all that, because we always do with everything we do. Mm-hmm. But you're going to you're going to want to engage with her in that supportive. You're going to be curious to hear what it sounds like. It's different from hearing it inside our heads, right? So you're going to want to listen, and when you listen, then you're going to respond. And I don't think you'll have much trouble getting into and maintaining the practice. Now, if you do, call me back, and we'll talk more about it. But I just have a feeling because this is such a huge life event.
And there's no place to put those feelings. Like there's. No. Like the whole it's not fair, the whole just anger at the universe for this happening. Like I'm not really angry. Like it's not fair it happens to anybody. And so it's just there's no place to put that sort of sometimes life. This is life. I mean, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That kind of thing happens. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And, this is why God made therapists, right? Nobody could afford to have a therapist on call the way we need to have one at a time like this, right? Now we have it available to us all the time. And, Jody, the thing that is most powerful for me about this is that the way you just presented this, if you were left alone with this inside your own head, you could come out believing yourself to be a less than stellar person, right?
Right. But
what you get to discover in this is that you are the conscious, compassionate awareness that can embrace that human being and all of her, all of everything about her. That's actually who you are, and to have. Mm-hmm. An experience of that is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I certainly have moments of that, but I think this, yeah. No, I appreciate the suggestion.
Yeah. And let me know, would you? I mean, do keep me informed, if you would, because I think going through this and seeing how you go through it, hearing how you go through it, can be really helpful to other people. In fact, we're starting a process now. We have Zen Awareness Coaches, and we're going to do a similar project with therapists. And the reason for that is to, of course, obviously, to assist therapists in working with people to help people to have this tool that shows them in a shorter period of time. It can take us years of getting to a place of having that experience of being conscious, compassionate, awareness, and knowing that that's our authentic nature. To have somebody that we can go to for the kind of support that I'm hoping to offer you to do this practice and have that experience for yourself, I think is just a really important one. So people hearing how people are using recording and listening to get through various things, an illness for oneself or for a loved one, the loss of a loved one, difficulty with child rearing, any and every human situation can benefit from having the ability to embrace the person and whatever the person is struggling with in conscious compassion awareness, in unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. The way you put that was, No, I think that sounds wonderful.
Good, good.
Hey,
all right, will
you
take good care of yourself, okay?
I will.
All right. Thanks, Jody.
Thanks so much.
Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, it looks like we got about 5 minutes. Would you like to?
All right. That's just right, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Let's see who we get.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Janice. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Janice from North Carolina.
Janice from North Carolina. That sounds mighty nice.
Yeah, it is mighty nice.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I just was feeling a little disconnected, so I thought I would call in.
Good. Tell us about life in North Carolina.
You know, it's pretty hot here. This is my first summer here.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty hot and humid, but it's still beautiful, just gorgeous trees.
It adds to that green, doesn't it? That beautiful green that they've got going.
It does, the trees and the green and just pretty.
Mm-hmm. And practice is?
You know, practice is going okay. I would have to say okay. I was noticing, I did the stop, drop, and text, which I really found great. It gave me the opportunity to, I was trying to see how, what happens when I commit to something and then I'm no longer doing it at some point in time.
Right.
And I got
a place that we all know well, right?
Yeah. It's a great mystery to me. And I really got to see kind of in detail what, I don't know how to say it, it seems subtle to me, but the nature of what occurs that has me no longer do it, like the little pieces. And it was fascinating. And I was noticing today, because that during that practice, I was aware kind of all day of this stuff coming in that would prevent me from doing what I was committed to. And then I noticed clearly today that I wasn't aware of all that. I was just kind of fused. I was just going on in life as before, you know?
Yes, so that is a really helpful image of what practice offers us. So there's this kind of mysterious thing that happens, and then we get to watch it, and we get to see all the components and how they come together to produce the result that is being produced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, and in doing that, there was a lot of stuff that would just become flags to me. So, a particular conversation or even just a particular feeling and be like, oh, I'm familiar with that, and I know where that leads.
Yes.
this sounds obvious, when I'm paying attention, right? And so today I noticed I wasn't really paying attention.
Yes, yes. And that kind of explains everything, doesn't it? I read a peace quote today that probably everybody did who gets peace quotes, but it was Bruce Lee saying, I wish I could remember. But anyway, the point was, who Bruce Lee was, who is that kind of person, just an ordinary person with an extraordinary ability to pay attention and to focus attention. That's exactly I'm sorry that I did that to Bruce Lee's quote, because it was a really good quote, so if people can check it out and see what he actually said. But that's the gist of it, right? And so why doesn't my life work? Well, I don't pay attention. What is it that I suffer over? All the places I'm not paying attention. Yeah. And when is life great? When I'm paying attention. So the answer is the same on both sides of the continuum.
Yeah. No, well, thank you for that. Before this call, it wasn't like I was baffled by it. It was just like, you know, like there it was. But I did, you know, I didn't know, not what to do about it, but I didn't.
Yeah,
I just knew it was
what
different.
To do with it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, it's mm-hmm. as simple as I'm just not paying attention. Yeah.
Exactly. And it is that simple, isn't it? It's just and it explains why there. I mean, if you look at the world in the way we happen to look at it, it explains why conditioning works so hard to distract people, to get people to go unconscious. Because when we're present, when we're paying attention, we make really good decisions for ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't listen to self-hate. We don't overeat. We don't stay up too late. We don't abuse ourselves. We don't, you know, we just don't do those things that lead to an unhappy life. So if all of those little karmas that make a living off of suffering are going to make a living, then we have got to be distracted into not paying attention. Because that's the only way it's going to work for them, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess the structure is important. So like stop, drop, and text was a good structure, and then I probably don't have a good structure right now, yeah.
Yes, well, and we've been talking about that. I think I've been hearing myself talk about that for the last couple of 3 weeks, where the importance of getting things every day and the value of things throughout the day. So, you know, people will fall into I meditate for a half hour in the morning, or, you know, I'm going to be really dedicated, I'll meditate for an hour in the morning, and then that's it throughout the day. Well, you know, karmic conditioning, it takes about, 30 seconds to go from meditation to unconscious. So if we have things that are bringing us back all day long, then we are in a much better training program to be present than if we do one long thing that just becomes a something I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
So you might get your pals even to it. Of course, I think the program is getting ready to start again. I don't know if you're going to participate again, but you know, get your friends to just expect text from you 3 or 4 times a day.
No, that'd be great, because the only thing I was looking at was anything. What would prevent me from sending 3 texts a day? You know,
right.
It was
right.
Just all there. It was so hard at first to send 3 texts a day.
Exactly, and to me the really beautiful part of that is to realize how caught up I am. Because karmic conditioning will tell us that we're present all day long. You know, I'm pretty aware. Oh, I'm here. I'm here. But then I'm going to send 3 texts a day, and day after day I get to the end of the day, and the little voice in my head says, you forgot to send the text. Right? The little voice that was not going to tell me when it was time to send them, but will tell me at the end of the day. And it's, you know, we can either get kind of ticked about it, and of course a lot of people will allow self-hate in at that point, or we can just say, wow, that's sobering. I gotta get here, so I'm gonna send 6 texts a day, I'm gonna send 9 texts a day, because, and I'm gonna set an alarm for every 10 minutes, and I'm gonna, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Good. All right. Is there more?
No, there's not. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, and we're at time anyway, so thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night, Janice.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And Sherry, I have the Bruce Lee quote here if you would like to
hear it. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry.
The successful warrior is the average person with laser-like focus.
Say the first part, Michael. I didn't hear you.
The successful warrior is the average person with laser-like focus.
Yes, isn't that good?
That is good.
That's all it requires for us to become superheroes.
Yes. And you know what else is good?
What's that?
Our new radio show platform and this sangha and this practice.
Isn't it the truth?
It is the truth. It's really each one of
them. Each one of them, and together, dynamite.
Dynamite.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Talk to you next
week. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
All right. Good night.
Good night.